everything. And I know it's dark in here and cold, and perfect sleeping weather. I'm John Phillips. I work on Inkscape, Open Clip Art Library, and other things. I also work for Creative Commons. If that wasn't quite obvious from that huge slide there. Yeah, that's right. I work at home. The icons? No, it's actually like a mismatch, right? It's like not really supposed to do that. I did it anyway. I can. So what I'm talking about today is the Open Content Library, which is an idea for different content storage sites. Not just sites, it could be other types of ways to store information. I'm going to go through that. I'm going to kind of go through the current landscape of what's happening. I'm also trying out these nice effects here. If you haven't tried OpenOffice effects, you should try it. It's really great. We're heavy on the guys, aren't we? We're heavy on the guys in the crowd, isn't it? Wait, one girl? Two girls. All right. That's right. That's right. You're blurring the lines. I like it. You gotta blur the lines a little bit.
Okay, here's another problem. I could get maybe one or two out of the booth.
Really?
The booth bags. Uh-huh. But it would be trading a girl for a girl. And
should we take a vote on
maybe
that?
Maybe we have male booth bags. When there's girls in the audience, there would be more females in the audience. What got me with this?
That's for next year. That's my goal next year, to try to get more girls here.
Okay. Can you say Chuck, you prefer girls here than men?
I think so. Half and half. No animals. Like our office, our old CC office had dogs, but we like got rid of that office because it's actually horrible. And people bring their dogs to work because they get sick all the time. You can't like when people are like bringing like organic food for dogs, like raw food for dogs, and they start feeding them like the good food that we get. It kind of gets weird, and they get sick all the time. It's like so annoying. And then you're like working and you hear dogs like running around.
Yeah, they're really productive.
Dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Their owners, yeah, the dogs kind of like, they really show who owns them. So when the dogs are laying around, you see the employees kind of laying around as well. Mm-hmm. So, but those were in the Creative Commons office. That was another office. I'm also going to go through, give a general idea of Open Content Library. Uh-oh, he's got his hand raised already. And then we're going to talk about making more libraries with CC hosts. Go ahead.
I don't even think you need to be amplified, but if you insist on using your mic, and whoever's telling the sound, turn it down a bit because you're...
Is it too loud? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Better? Are you recording it? That's fine. Okay.
Thank you.
We are recording. Okay, good. So who is hosting your content is a question. So how many people use like Flickr? Flickr for the video, for the photos, or use Gmail for your email? He uses Gmail. How many people use Gmail? Right. I actually told myself I wasn't going to do the whole hand raising thing, but I think it sucks. But somehow I did it anyway. Also, what is being done with your data on different services? These are some important questions. How is your content licensed as well? More than that, what is the privacy that you signed up for different services? The different terms of service. Do you read the terms of service?
Yeah, you do. That's why I don't use Gmail, that's why I don't use Speaker, that's why I keep my features under my control. And I do license those features when I want to license them, and it can be open, it can be paid, but it's my control, not their control.
So where did you say put photos?
On my server.
How many people put photos on their server?
Yes.
I've been giving so many like Creative Commons talks, I think I've like forgotten who my homies are. Oh yeah, my homies, that's right. I don't have to preach to the choir here, right? Okay, we'll see that. So Open Content Library is a collection of content, audio, video, text, using open content licenses, stored in open formats, with open source software, using open services. Does that not seem like an inclusive definition?
Absolutely. It's a mouthful.
Certainly open. Open underscore. That's the new motto for the year. Not the year of the desktop. An open content library could be any size, use any open content license, within reason, right? We don't want to like a gazillion licenses for it. Be public, private, or mixed, like what you want. Allow users to control the privacy settings of how their data is shared. Like the good usability talk yesterday with in GIMP. That's a good, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with usability data, privacy? It's pretty important to consider. Also, use open services. Let's say, although I'm listing protocols, I'm just using that as a proxy for services that are licensed in a right way. And actually, I'm going to have a big announcement about that coming soon from Creative Commons in this month. And support content import and export. And by that, has anyone been bothered that you can't, like if you're having problems with a website and you wanted to take and export all your data and hit delete, but you couldn't? That's right. You can't hit delete on source word, even though that your content is in the Wayback Machine and X, Y, and Z. I mean, it's a difficult procedure, but you want to be able to export your data. And that is actually one good thing that Google has said that they value is to be able to get export. Although we'll see. And use open formats, of course. You like that cheesy effect? That's right. Pull some cheese out for you guys. The current landscape. So here we go. We have the closed system. I'm going to go through these. And this is more about the hybrid approach, different types of content libraries. So we have just the closed service. Then we have a mix. And between the mix is open. So open underscore. So we can say open source, open content, open service. It's a good way to look at it. So let's say at YouTube. What is this service? Closed.
Compilation service.
What do you say?
Compilation service.
It's a great way to watch videos, right? Like anime.
If you decide to relinquish your freedom to install appropriately encoding software.
Has anybody read the term of service for YouTube?
Yes.
No, I can't. I don't have Flash.
Oh, that's the good thing in my YouTube. You hear that? You guys can use it. You can find out what you're missing.
Yeah, a bit fishy to be crushed when you have the first advertising in Flash that is on Twitter. And Flash is almost ready to do it, too.
Yeah, okay. So I would consider this service a closed service at this moment. It's a closed project, basically. I mean, they're relying on some like obscure, lost stuff. It's not actually obscure, it's just hard. Most people don't understand it, which is fair use and safe harbor provisions and the
MCA. They have to name it. It should be renamed GooTube. Because it's Google too.
What about the DLC?
Oh, let's not talk about the DMCA.
Well,
DMCA has some like safe harbor provisions that allow you to there's takedown. First of all, the biggest thing is the takedown.
Right.
But then fair use also has, there's some different requirements for how you can use something under fair use.
But the takedown goes fairly well. I had this site steal my content, 1 week was off.
Right. Well, here's an interesting thing about the DMC and the takedown with GooTube. I was at this conference on UGC, which is the alien word for user-generated content, right? And there's an NBC lawyer arguing with some other guys. Actually, he was arguing with a Microsoft lawyer, which is really cool. And they're saying, well, you know, what's the scary part about being like Viacom is in the 72 hours after like Saturday Night Live is on Saturday night, because that's about how long it takes for the wheels of motion to get a takedown. So think how much money is generated in ads in 72 hours off of video that goes
to
site.
They just put the takedown in advance, I mean, assuming it's going to go
Can they get compensated
for those ads? I mean, those 72 hours ads?
Well, I mean, that's the lawsuit, right? It's like, okay, like, there is still leakage. It's not like we can leakage. It's a weird word. There's still, like, they're making money, so there is some sort of damage, right? But because of the DMCA and fair use, they're falling back on that, and we'll see what happens. Here's a Japanese site. I've given this talk to some.
You have an account there?
Yeah, I do. Don't you guys get accounts for everything?
If I cannot treat it, I can because I couldn't treat the demo.
Well, this is a closed service. It's like MySpace, and it looks like it's written in Perl, too, which is kind of interesting. Yet again, Google Video is another one.
So now we have Flickr. I would consider this a mixed service, mixed, because they have both open content and also allow us to post content, but then they have open services. We could consider open services.
Almost
open services. They can't get the source.
There is some limitation, for example, the geotagging system in Flickr. A lot of people enter their geographic information to geotag pictures. You cannot recover them after a while. There is no way that you can expose them from the one for your pictures.
Right.
So you enter data, make something, but you cannot get out of the service because you cannot recover them for later or for you to archive or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the major problem with these application service providers, because that's what they are, hosting
right.
stuff for you, is that they close you down. It's a bit like building your
own.
Well,
it's okay, right? The service is okay. You don't know what they're going to do. You don't know when they're going to drop. But Yahoo, you don't know when they're going to drop whatever their Yahoo photos and then use Flickr. And maybe they'll drop Flickr in the future or Zoomer or something else. I don't know. But the point is like that you have control to a certain point, but not complete control of your content. And then there's also the issue of limits. The idea of limits, like on yesterday, I think Jake was talking about the limits you have on Flickr per month, how much you can upload. Why not just get a camera and open a Flipart right away? You can upload forever. Right, Keith? Keith hates me.
Yeah, because he's the server.
I know. Okay. No more free desktop comments whatsoever for the rest of the talk.
Thanks, guys.
It's running dev test this morning. It's not up.
That's right.
It's being ill.
And then we have Wikipedia, which is
open.
Completely open, right? You can download a tarball of the data. You can run your own. You can put it on different devices. You can put it on full PC or whatever you want. And there's APIs to be able to access it. Archive.org is another open service, right? If you license it under Creative Commons license, you can host your content there forever.
Or service
huh?
Or is
there? That's true. That's something to consider. Do they have a large dump of data? Red, huge.
I've never seen that. I mean, you can sort of crawl, but it's all along the way.
But I would argue that because their software is not open, that it makes the site harder to use, and also because there's other projects like ourmedia.org that have a different interface to the content, but it's still not successful just being able to wholesale like have community developers like us here behind it to like add things.
The Wayback Machine thing was not it does not respect content owners.
Well, they would fall back on fair use, like the search engines do.
Well, I got to take down some content. We did, yeah, a few years ago, but it's all or nothing. Like, if you get down there, you can like, get right to that piece that we have seen. Okay, so that's what you do.
Wayback Machine can use the robots to extend it's retroactive.
It is retroactive?
Yes. Well, they changed the time I did with them.
That's true.
At that time, they were not following the robot exclusion protocol, and it was all or nothing.
I'm not sure if I agree with you understand if you guys are clearly or not. If they put something, somebody puts up malicious content, it might take a while to get that.
What I'm saying is basically that it's like a degree of openness, just like any of our projects, right? I mean, I call it like a bit of openness. Like, okay, like, yeah, you can contribute to Inkscape, you know, it's completely open. But there are always barriers. You know, at the same time, like the services, I mean, barriers in terms of like knowledge, you need to know, knowing any viruses. But also with the services like this, like Wikipedia, there's a certain level of how you have to get into the culture, actually.
Yeah, that's the other part.
Right. So, I mean, it's more of like, we're talking about degrees of openness. So then we have software like WordPress that allows us to then install this on our own server and have our own. This is WordPress.org. They also have a .com, which is that same kind of mixed approach. But then you can download software, like this is my site here.
and I refer Chris, so I have a system for posting my content. Creative Commons then, a couple years ago, launched this project with Wired Magazine, and part of it was to have CC licensed content available on the CE. Did anybody get that?
Yeah.
And so Beastie Boys and some other artists licensed music that way. And from that, here are the original tracks. There's like Beastie Boys, David Byrd, Zap Mama, Matt Mose.
Is that the CD you gave away at this open last year?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so
exactly. And from that, then a community was launched called CC Mixture. And CCMixture.org. And from that, individuals could go on there and do the whole user-generated content and create a remix of the track, re-upload it, and then track as well, up here samples are used, track the actual samples that are being used by other artists. So you get to actually see then this remix hierarchy, or what we always know as in version control, being able to see the history of the file. Which is, these are really important concepts. I'm sure like Apple will come out with something and then everyone will just have it and they'll say they invented it. And what is it called? Time Machine? It's like the hardest to use version control.
Well, you know, just people believe that Apple invented the music player when they didn't. They just made the program that people
right. Wrote. It's totally silly. This is another example of CC Mixture. And here's the latest version. I think this was actually a little bit old. So what is the open? I had to take it. You know, take the cheese when you can get it. She knows about that. She's like, look, she's like way into cheese. Hold on. Anybody try poutine? So that stuff, that's like, man, I'm surprised like people in the United States haven't gotten way into that yet. it seems like you just like take a heart and like pour like fat and like cholesterol right into it, just jam like a cork into a heart.
No, it's like you have to find in Ontario, so there's a place in the US, so crossing the border, you're like, no way, you're right. I don't want that French stuff.
That's like trying to get booze in Utah.
Okay, alright. I had a friend from Switzerland last year, and she went with a straw drinking out the rest of the gravy.
You try to do that while you're driving. That's what someone said. It's like you could, people eat it when they drive.
For sure.
It's like beef jerky, but cheese. I like it.
Can you still get it at home?
You can.
Yeah.
But you don't want to get it here.
Just like anything, right? So let's keep moving on. Open content library.
It's not dependent on us. No, don't do that.
So open content library. So let's do a recap of that. Like, why are these more libraries needed? So there's no media utopia that can do everything. There's just such scalability issues. That's why we have a lot of different systems, YouTube, et cetera, Flickr, open clip art library, do one thing really well. Data redundancy is obviously a good thing. Also, services are niche-based. And like something like Orkut was originally developed, and some of you might have gotten on Orkut. Now it's turned into the most popular social networking site in Brazil. And North America doesn't really use it anymore.
No, they use Facebook now.
Facebook, right. There's the mass migration from MySpace to Facebook.
No, from Orkut to Facebook. Well,
Facebook's a separate service.
No, but I mean people that were on Orkut before know that Orkut is dead for North America and they go to Facebook.
So there's the migration. So there's that kind of migration. I mean, also that's why I showed Mixi. Mixi is big in Japan. There's language issues. You can't always conquer every single category. Sorry. Need different libraries to focus around languages, culture, specific media, and also back to our old issue, privacy.
License and open information.
Exactly. I'm licensing my image right now for you. CC attribution. Or no, how about, let's do public domain. Let's do public domain. I like public domain better. So open content library should empower you to maintain your own, maintain your community around this as well, and make it public for you to yourself, and make it legal, ensure the longevity with open formats, and ensure interoperability with open services. Oops. So one way to view this is a social technical strategy. So we have social being good communities, projects need real people. We also have, let's say, the technical strategy, how to view an open content library. Good software catalyzes certain types of communication and activities. Bad software hurts social community. The idea being here that this type of open content library exists before there's actually software, right? I mean, you could do a lot, I won't get into that kind of discourse, but looking at how communities are based upon social situations and what happens in the real life really maps onto the virtual lives. I was reading a research report today about how in Second Life, there's some reports done on like proximity, how close people stand to each other. I think it was on Slapshot actually. And it was saying that it's like very similar to real life. So second view is to look at open content libraries as a superset. And what projects are open content libraries? Might you guess? Anyone want to take a shot? Oh, right. Thank you. Oh, thank you, really. It's amazing when projects you're already doing fit into a theory. So openclipart.org has been around now for a few, right? How many people uploaded content to openclipart?
Can
they
record?
Huh?
Can you record?
You could into the system, but not into OpenClipArt library. So OpenClipArt library is a public collection of SVG graphics. And mainly came out of Inkscape, which is the brethren of Inkscape have helped seed that. And there's about 12,000 images now, SVG-based images. It's based upon CC host. And it's hosted generously by PDF. I always want to give love to Keith at Free Desktop Federal. The project stack is healthy, besides today. We'll just forget about today. Tomorrow. I think tomorrow will be healthy.
I hope so.
It's good communication. All the skills that Bryce was talking about from Inkscape have been applied to the clip art library. Bryce did a really good job of explaining how to really build an open source community that's healthy. Now there's about 100 registrations a day as well, so it's really scaling up. And that's good, because before, with our old system, we didn't have any form of registration, and now we're requiring people to register, and 100 people a day, that's good.
How many of that are spam calls?
Huh?
How many of that are spam
calls? I don't know. We have the spam problem under control. We just need spam.
Yeah, how many of those people are uploaded?
It's small. Oh, I got a good figure for you. So 0.04% of all Flickr users upload content. Isn't that crazy?
That's fine.
Huh?
That's fine. That's fantastic. Yeah, how did they get
that
high?
That what?
What's the point of registering? What's the point of registering?
You get a profile, maybe you'll think about using it.
You get friends. I have a Flickr account, they don't have pictures. It's just to so I can browse and have the friends contact me so I can see the browser's pictures. You can aggregate for your friends' pictures, see what has been posted and stuff. So that's
it's a social network. It's a social,
yes. So this way they map you for marketing targeting.
My guess on data from Canada to USA when they got bought by Yahoo. They didn't ask my permission.
I always browse them in add-ons using the Selenium browser.
Yeah, super paranoid.
Yeah, this is a former Swiss bank.
I need to talk to you after.
If you register 10,000 accounts on Flickr and 10,000, you can put a URL in your profile that is public. So you can then sell your link file for a lot of money because you can get a lot of Google karma. There's actually money in this. So you could have a lot of money that they probably have tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of link file accounts.
The project, of course, needs more developers and coders always. We have, because 100 registrations is users, and And of that, you can imagine if 0.04% of Flickr uploading, that you have the added challenge of creating vector graphics. But the good news is that there are more and more contributors and the quality is raising on the artwork. You could go try to write that down and go to it tomorrow. For the upcoming release, we're working on a complete CC host transition. We are now using CC host engine completely. I was blessed to get a gig at Creative Commons and to work on this engine. And to be honest, when I first started, I didn't realize that. It took me a few to figure out what I was doing on the board. And then I used this engine for open clip art library. Yeah, okay. You need to work on this thing. Good. Import of the old collection. Thumbnails are two like major things that need to happen still. People can upload thumbnails that they create, just like an open font library right now. And there's infrastructure in place, but it's just a matter of optimizing. Packaging and browsing too is coming up. Clipart requests, we have a feature on Open Clipart Library for requests so that you can upload a sketch or another bitmap file for requests. Like saying, I want a picture of a boat. You can upload a picture of a boat. And then the artist in the project can go through and then fill that request. And so it's tracked actually as a remix of that original request. Originally, we were collecting requests on the website, thanks to Alexander, I think, one of the key guys to do that. Get them. And it was pretty successful, so the wiki request list kept growing and growing and growing. And now we require that people upload an image, which is actually interesting because it's a higher barrier for someone who actually works to request that and something. But also because we get a lot of we don't allow bitmap uploads. We get a lot of those. So you can move, if they're of decent quality, we can just move it over to request section. Rather than just have to delete it outright. And also, one of the big features is to add is wizards and templates. And if Bryce is here, you can talk more about that. We wanted to have generators for different types of content, with greeting cards, and maybe you could do screenshots. And then also then we want to get on to clip art optimization, purification, which is a really big thing. Basically stripping out Adobe Illustrator's correcting, embedding of an Illustrator file inside of Illustrator, that type of thing. And for the future, we have a new site design. Andy has been hacking on this. So we're going to move the site over to this new site design. This is the mock-up.
What are you using as a website?
For the website? I'm getting to that CC host. So Andy's done a good job to clarify and purify the interface. There's still a lot more that has to happen.
I see you need help, Garrett.
Oh, what's this?
Acting on the open clip on. What you're seeing is train hacking. I'd really like to get up to scratch.
Oh, okay. At least it's an association and all of that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
The CC host is made out with a whole lot of different stuff. I just hacked up the association and all that.
Okay. Good. Love to help you out. Just shoot me an email.
That's how it happens, right there. Handshake and a smile. Anybody else want to help out? We just do it right. Yeah, this is the SVG that Andy gave me as well. So you can see it's a lot better than the interface. Being able to quickly download, which is what most people want to do. The other really important thing is to have, which we had on our old site, which I think would be good to add back, is to have the immediate upload. And I actually would like to add the anonymous upload again. So I think it's pretty important. There are some issues with copyright and doing the anonymous and being able to track back if someone actually didn't work. And you can see here, this is also highlighting that with the engine we're using, CC host, you can do checking favorites and also writing reviews of content, which you couldn't do before. Also, we want to get more integration in Inkscape, Krita, always say it wrong.
of GIF and Scritus. And right now, Bryce is adding code to Inkscape to allow for that, so you can browse. And also, there's a summer code student who's working on publishing directly from Inkscape. And also integration with other web services, and RSS, Sample Tool API, OpenSearch, WebDAV are all important targets. And also, I mentioned that too. Oops. Did I just skip that again? Anyway, I wanted to say, like, so you guys have seen MyCons here all weekend. So this is the MyCon guy right there. And so I think it's also important to start thinking too, especially for web services, how you can integrate with companies and other services that that want to play well with our open services and our open content that's out there. It's important. I mean, it'd be great. That's a great thing about Flickr is that from FBot you can upload your photos directly to your service. The same thing would be great for our open clip art library to directly be able to take content, let's say inside Inkscape, import it, open clip art library, clip art, and then say publish, and then you have a selection of different services like MyCons, Cafe Press, that you can directly output your content to print companies, etc. This is showing what Open Clip Art Library looks like, somewhat like right now. And you can see we've more of an emphasis on stats and uploads. Also here's the tag cloud of current clip art. So you can see there's a lot of different pieces. You can tag it, all the Web 2.0 style features you've got. On the left-hand side, you can see recent reviewers and other infrastructure. And so another open content library project, let's say, is Open Font Library. And this is the logo winner who won the Open Font Library competition. It's a collection of fonts for the free desktop, as our good friend Dave Crossland and Nicholas went through. The idea is to be able to host public domain fonts and also open font license fonts. So right before this conference, we added support to the Indian that it's powered by CC Toast, so you can have open font license. And uses also CC Toast, the web-based CMS. And it's also hosted by Project status so far. So this is a very, very new project. We haven't even really launched it. Perpetual beta, 29 fonts so far. We had this logo contest that was like more successful than fonts. But that was the point though, because like I knew that we could do that and get a lot of eyes from the clip art library onto this collection, and it did work. It's just trying to lower the barrier for entry for font creation. And also having, I think there's a lot of font developers that want to use open font license, so I think adding that hopefully will bring some more people to the project.
It's getting spiral into
Totally. Yeah, we get the JavaScript version, we can tack it in. That'd be very cool.
I just have people build fonts right with a Ajax script right on the front side.
Yeah. I'm all for it. Who wants to do it?
Just gonna do Ajax in my push.
Hey, how do we get Ajax to do Ajax?
I'm just gonna buy you a machine.
That'd be cool.
Will you buy me one too?
You know, that's on my to-do list. It's like, eight, five. No.
Did you know when hammering that machine that was?
Maybe you can call me to a Zoom or something.
I know it's fine. I don't ask him.
That's right. No ask.
He's a man.
He's a man. Yeah, I mean, the site, Open Clip Art Library fluctuates between the top 10,000 and 15,000 websites. I don't know what's going on. But it's definitely getting a lot of traffic. And also because a lot of Wikipedians use Open Clip Art Library, that's a big source of traffic. So, yeah, we have to think about these scalability concerns. Still haven't really launched, I guess it's a perpetual beta idea, right? And we need more fonts and developers, of course. This is the link to the stats in there.
Perpetual beta, are you sponsored by Google? Is that only beta?
No. I mean,
We haven't really launched, but we'll see if that we ever actually really launch. And I think Open Clipart library is that way too. Like, we're going to launch it. And then all of a sudden we're like doing releases. And then all of a sudden we're doing like a 23-step process for a release. Not anymore. So the roadmap for this is quite simple. We want to launch. We want the monthly releases to get in for this, which really helps Open Clipart library scale. And do it the same way, not like bite off too much, which is have a community update, a library update, and Alex Roberts here, also from Creative Commons, is the founder of GEdit, you guys have Notepad, and he's working on a firm called FontView, and FontView is a font reading engine, and also another one called, what's the loading program?
Serif.
Serif is like the typing engine using my FontView. Okay. So we want to roll out a bunch of tools across the desktop that'll help everyone who needs those things. We use them maybe like on a Mac or Windows or something. And 1.0 is what you make it, right? And this is, right now it's not really skinned at all, kind of like Open Clipart library. So we also need another skin for that. And Andy's probably gonna get you for that one way.
If we
can check
the clipart.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's perfect. That's right. So the third way to do this is just started to put up some other, seeing what else exists in this space. There are some other sources like Open Photos Internet that does and tries to do support for photos. There's a site called FreeSound that has the largest collection of open samples. There's CC Mixer as well. It's more of a remix community. Just a basic place to collect these and to collect the different specifications to support this movement. Promotion of standards also, and also working on seeding an open video library right now. All this really has to do with who has the time. Because like I actually really didn't want to start Open Font Library, but that guy right there wanted to start it. So I was like, all right, sure. Okay, yeah, sure. That's fine. We'll do it. And finally, I'm going to close with like making more libraries. If you guys aren't asleep yet, no one says a thing. Everyone's asleep. It could be like the last talk that puts the worst taste in your mouth. So you may be like, screw that. I'm never going to that conference again. Being honest. So CC Host is the engine that powers all this stuff. And that's a Creative Commons sponsored project. There's a couple developers who are working on it. I used to work on it, not really working on it anymore. So I'm, believe it or not, I'm doing business development for Creative Commons. Business development strategy, which is pretty fun. And I get paid. But it's fun because I get to like help move pieces around on the open board. Open underscore board.
What?
Are you
saying that you're a pawn?
No. I'm a pawn. I'm just a pawn. So CC Host is a GPL license, PHP, MySQL app. And you can get it from that URL. But it supports common features that you'd expect in a web app. Web app. Also supports licensing and metadata. And it's most similar to MediaWiki and WordPress. It's all object-oriented as well, so you can access it easily. And highly customizable and stable. Even more features. There's an API called the Sample Tool API, so you can connect different installations together and query them. So if someone else wanted to have their own Clipart site, it would be really easy to connect up the sites together. So that's good for any future disgruntled open Clipart librarians. Disgruntled librarians. Like going librarian, not going postal. Okay, never mind. All right, room full of guys. Yeah, shushing everyone. I hate librarians. Code documentation is also up online. You can go to that. These are the sites that are using it. The main ones that are using it so far. but hopefully get more people to use it on their own websites. That's a picture of CC Mixer. In 4.0 added a lot of different new features. Feeds coming out of every port. Data dumping. What is it? This is a custom installation of CC host from what I run on, running on my system. So you can see. Notice you can delete your character. But also you can, on this left hand side here, you're seeing the different feed you can get per user, per remix, across tags. So you can effectively develop your own collection based on how you tag currently. The idea is in the future to be able to have a checkout system where you could take and click on things you like and roll your own package at the end, download it if you want to.
Just a question. Is it legally possible to load to a CC host-based web storage some contents of this license, like some powerful license, not free? Like how free do you host?
Well, you can, right? Like that's why we added Open Font License to it. We added, it's just a plugin actually. The Open Font License is just a plugin added to CC host and bam, you got support. But, I mean, it's important, I think, for these communities to have select clear license rather than offer a gazillion, because licenses don't all work together. And Creative Commons has this license called the Sanctum license, and it has some problems with how it interoperates with other licenses. So I don't really promote it too much. But in terms of, and also, I should say, like, there's some other issues, like, so if you use a Creative Commons attribution share alike, their share alike is the viral component. You also have other problems if you use a different license as well. So if you have, well, if you offer BySA, say, by CSA, then those licenses can't work together. You can go one way, but you can't, actually, no, you can't at all. They're completely viral, you can't change them.
That's not the voices in those?
No. No, I mean, you can use those as options on CC host, but like, for example, for Open Clipart Library, we use the CC host public domain declaration, which allows you to, you know, you give away your copyright. And all it was just a box of those select license. I can actually show that. So I'm logged in right now. This is a test installation on my system. So there's this idea of virtual roots. So this virtual root is the media root. Yeah, because there's a contest engine as well, so you can run different contests. That's why we ran a logo competition. So per virtual root, you can have different settings. So right here is the license selection. So on your installation, you go, oh, I want to use only attribution, non-commercial. I have that plugin installed in my system. I say, oh, this is, I also want to allow both of my license.
Boom.
And you say this, then you can upload only those two. I mean, it's up to the user, of course, to select that.
And then I don't know how many to upload.
There is, but it's not been committed yet.
I actually think
anonymous upload.
Then the Mongo repository, and people uploaded copyright work that they didn't own to it. And I don't think it was organized all that well. And the people hosting it got legal notices. And because they weren't being paid or financed to deal with that, they just took down the whole site. So then the Mongo repository is gone right now. And so something like this would be a good candidate. for resurrecting them.
Right.
Yeah, I thought about that as the need to have like an open community library. Also, that's why I think like Dolphin Spring Orange Project is so amazing. Because I often before that was released said, what if you release something like The Matrix, which is used all the time in education to talk about different new philosophies, et cetera, et cetera. But if you could release all the mother files, all the source files for a film like that, what that would do to education and to teaching people about modeling. Obviously, there's some lock in, right? The software maybe. But the same thing, it's like with that, it's like a great example of how you can do it right from the get-go. When the anonymous upload is turned on, or is committed, it will just be a feature. It won't be turned on by default.
You said that Inkscape was getting a way of uploading SVG
files to OpenClipArt.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me an API so that FontForge can upload fonts to?
Yeah, definitely. There's an upload API right now. So.
Can you tell me where it is?
Yeah, I showed it on the side here. So here's the PHP doc that goes through and shows the different pieces of code. And I believe it's in this PHP doc. Also, this OpenClipArt library is not live right now, but here's also a documentation for the sample pool API. We're able to connect up different installations as well. But right, that's a no-brainer to be able to use that API to connect it up, which is great. I also talking about Scribe is like maybe using like K new hot stuff. You would be a way to use that to add some integration. Craig probably has something to say about that. No? Which Craig? So also beyond CC Ghost, so it's at 4.0.1 right now, is adding WebDAV support. I really want to add WebDAV support so we can have something like .Mac or open source. So we can have an installation and you can drag over files.
I think there are projects that whose goal is to try to provide a replacement for that service. And I think
so concerning the .Mac, as well as I was saying, I think there are two projects to try to replace this service, and one actually comes from Mac fanatics that don't want to be prisoner of .Mac services that are unreliable and expensive for what they provide. And I remember also reading that Ubuntu had a wiki page where they were trying to get a specification, but well, I don't know how that would lead. But I think that there are already people with the idea, so if that needed to be pushed further, maybe it would be nice to get all together and really provide that free service and try to get together with all these other people, not try to, again, duplicate that.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't want to duplicate that either, but I mean, this would be specifically for types of content that a site might provide. So you could use your username and password, let's say, from the Clipart library to be able to drag and drop Clipart. And you just use some hooks and kind of how it's implemented in Apache to do the quota checking and file checking. Direct in and out of Inkscape, that's summer code that's happening right now. Better support for other file formats. CCHost supports many different file formats right now. You can use a library called GetID3 to do validation, but you can turn that off and just use the magic bytes to determine files. So if you need to turn that off soon, just want anything to work. But yeah, we're not doing that on your desktop.
Thank you.
You were. Before this. Also, thumbnailing support is a big thing. You gotta think about like when you think about thumbnails, you gotta think about thumbnails across the board. Like what's a thumbnail on audio? Like a three player? Or what's a thumbnail? A thumbnail really is YouTube is the video player. You show the full video, that's still a thumbnail, right? The original file. And better generic support of content is a really big thing. Be able to take your content and take it from a service, another service can bring it in.
So right now, Open Clipart Library and Open Font Library are doing data dumps of all the content through RSS and ADD, like once a week. And that's kind of become the standard way to get content in and out of this type of sequence.
So it's like an RSS feed that lists everything.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. If anybody's ever done any work with like search engines, you learn like that basically it's regular expressions. Like the majors use regular expressions. And they also write their own lovely XML specifications to get content into something like an audio search. Anyone's ever done that? And so having this kind of a standard to say, okay, well yeah, we can give you your content. Here's a big dump of our stuff in ADD for RSS is a really good thing. And especially if there's a few new search engines. There's this one called spinexpress.com. They take this data dump and do something with it. So any CCOS installation will allow you to do that right now out the dumping data. And there's also a lot of new plugins. That's another thing. And if you go to this documentation here, if you scroll down a little bit, you can see a quick way to create a new module. So it's all event-based. CCOS is just event-based. You can add handler. There's various events. Then you can specify your class and the method to call upon a certain event. Then you can also map URLs to the query string. So for example, this would be like, let's say ccpost/some/URL. And that would then execute that URL. And then you can see here's the handler that's called right here for that. And then what happens is it just sets a title for the page. And if empty, then prompts for hello world. And if not empty, then it prompts for hello with the argument. It's pretty simple to quickly set up a .php file, add in some events, throw in some custom URL if you'd like, and add in your code. So you could do something like add, let's say you wanted to add a PayPal button. You could really quickly add a PayPal button and everything's true. And not have to get into the depths of the code. So I already kind of went through that stuff. So I just kind of end with like the importance. I mean, open source is everywhere, and that's a big thanks to us here, right? Not to pat ourselves too much on the back. But we still rely upon non-open content. And we still want to go see Spider-Man 3. And I still do, actually. I didn't really see it. But you know what we did? Alex and I found yesterday, they were showing the film Helvetica in downtown Montreal. Has anybody seen that?
Yeah.
It's totally good. It's really great. Going through like, they make like a nice conflict from going from modernism to postmodernism back to like supermodernism. That's like the conflict of it. So we have rays of hope here now. I think Rhythmbox, and I think different people have been blogging about this. Rhythmbox now has support here for Magnitude and Jamendo. So we're starting to see this now in open source, these services getting implemented into the desktop. So that's super great. I just want to usher in that era and help move that along with these different services. Also, there's rays of hope with Mugshot. Being able to connect together, it's a little different thread, but being able to connect together your different social networking profiles. Rays of hope. Same way, sunshine coming through the clouds. I don't know. It does. It looks like a song. It's sometimes nice to capitalize.
IQ poetry.
Huh?
Yeah, I write IQ poetry. IQ.
No. I don't know enough about IQ to write it. Crossover hope of Flickr, YouTube, and WebTV. I think that these services, just from talking to them from Creative Commons, they open standards services are on the roadmaps. It's not so much a matter of, it's not a matter of that they're not going to do it, it's a matter of time and want of the services. And same thing like licensing, a lot of these issues are just a matter of like talking to the right person. And I have a lot of contacts now, so
hopefully people can like use me as much as you want. I have a lot of contacts like Adobe, different places from Creative Commons. And good things like working with like X and Key group and different product managers. It's really key like to talk and talk through with those individuals if you have a connection. And also the other thing is I have an open MoCo phone here.
Right there.
But I also think it's important there's the old PC in the back there, right? Maybe you can hold that up. Everybody's probably already seen it. So we have old PC and open MoCo devices here right now, right? So it's important to consider the content that's on these devices and how it's going to get out to the world, but also where are people who use this type of device going to put their content, and how is it going to be licensed? Can we use it on like a film? Can we connect it up with in the GIMP? Do we want to start from RAW? It's not really our culture anymore to start from RAW, from like Canvas.
I don't plug in the GIMP.
What?
To get the licensed images. I don't plug in the GIMP licensed images. Nobody seems to care.
Well, actually, there's a reason Metadata plugin for GIMP works. I don't know what the current status is.
That is your main thing.
Send me a URL.
I'll dig it up.
What's up? By the way, I'm sending thanks right now in the background for all my homies.
They opened this.
Can you put your hat on them first?
There will also number of shoes.
Better than no pants. You don't know.
Do you know that for sure?
It's like the weatherman.
Well, the new Pants Day was like for this Friday. We missed it.
We gotta catch up.
We opened this conference with a talk about archiving. I think it was the second talk, actually, or the third or first or something. With a talk about archiving and libraries of the sort that have digital memory of books. And they're scanning these books, they're photographing them, and OCRing them. And of course, there's things like Project Gutenberg. And there are people doing scholarly critical editions of texts. And I'd like to see a lot of these being licensed with Creative Commons licenses, or even put in, you know, my own website, the From Old Books. I have thousands of images from, 2,000 images from antiquarian books, and they're almost all public domain. Because I want them to spread.
Right.
Because what worries me is we have this huge content, Google Books is an example, where you have these watermarked images, or not non-open images that have strict usage restrictions on them that they've scanned. And there's tons of books that don't even scan again. There's people scanning engravings, very low resolution, and sharing them, which is sad because people, you know, it's a mediocre job and people won't come back.
Right.
But what's really sad is if someone suddenly puts 10 million images out there and says, well, these are not open, but they're pictures of everything you could possibly want, then there's a big incentive problem. So we need to talk to those guys.
It's very much so. I'm working on a big project right now, actually, with Access Copyright Canada, CC Canada, Creative Commons, and Wikimedia Foundation that addresses some of this issue. And it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be announced later in the summer. It's a really big concern. I mean, also like being able to track down those words that are in the public domain and that are licensed in a way that we can, like on Wikipedia right now, it's very difficult to, you look at a document, there's footnotes for referring to certain things, but there's not really a way to search across the whole site to find, like, let's say all CC license codes or all public domain films, or to look across the citation. There's a strong need for a way to be able to refer to that. I mean, this kind of open content library approach is really trying to, kind of like with the GPL or working with our CC license, like working within the system there to provide this wedge so we can keep our arms around the content we have, but also keep it ready. Any other questions?
Yeah,
that's true. Sorry.
You got to spread the love.
Okay. Could you go through some of the icons on the right-hand side that I'm not familiar with? I guess the reverse C, that looks like recycle or repurpose?
Which one?
The third one down.
Share alike. So these are conditional icons from the different Creative Commons licenses. Up here is the new Creative Commons attribution license that Alex designed, with trying to take into account internationalization, because before it was by, but English, now it's a person.
Okay.
Then down here below is, that's P.
Public domain, yeah.
This is the attribution that's share alike, meaning if you apply that to your license, to your use a license to share alike, you have to use that same license for any derivative.
Okay.
This is no derivatives, meaning you can only share and copy something.
Okay.
This is non-commercial, meaning it's ambiguous. slightly ambiguous. Interpret as you will. And then that's closed caption.
Thank you. My other question was, a few minutes ago you said it's just a matter of talking to the right people to get...
Well, I mean, it's not just a matter, it's never as simple as that, but I think it's we're at a good time right now that you can talk with certain individuals that will listen and talk with them at companies and in different projects to get more collaboration.
But my point would be, don't you think you need also the masses to start demanding this? Because as long as people are willing to go along with these restrictive and,
Well, I mean, if
or just as important would be that all presidential candidates be allowed to go onto the stage and participate in the debates, right? Which is not the case.
We can add it to non-compliance. I mean, there's a lot of things.
What do you think? Why should it be just the major parties? Thank you.
Any other questions? One over there.
Okay. As far as demand for open content goes, it's going to be really important to have that content just be available. Really, people aren't going to demand it until they can see what they're missing.
And that's another reason why. So, an important thing to realize also is like how to get paid for open content. Because anybody watch the show Heroes? Like, you ever watch that show?
Yeah,
TV. Yeah, on TV or download, whatever. Torrent. I
was on Torrent.
There's a scene in there. This kid like stole this videotape. He's like, he was videotaping his sister who like in my field, and he's like, there was a videotape over, and it's like, he watched it, he's like freaked out. He's like, I'm gonna like take this and make $1 million on YouTube. That's what he said. So it's like pretty amazing. You realize that with user generated content, with good quality stuff, you can get paid, you can make some money. And that's an important thing to realize, how you can stay alive. And a lot of us have stayed alive in open source. We got jobs like Novell, Creative Commons, Intel, HP, etc. The only way I got into open source is because I had free time. I had some free time in grad school. And I mean, it was completely not really like my aim in grad school, but I made it my aim, and that's how I had time to like get into UCA and these other projects.
And so, that's one of the bootstraps.
Exactly, correct. So, It's important if you're going to try to get like the masses, like you say, you've got to provide incentives
and education.
But incentives, especially the money incentives, are pretty big. I'm not advocating for that, but I'm just saying like it's important. All right, cool guys.
Thank you.
All this is on my site, rejohn.org.
Just one quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Before I was working with Red Hat, I had
Just before I was working with Red Hat, I had at least four significant contracts that eventuated out of somebody stumbling upon works I'd submitted to Open Clipart, which of course I'm not proud of the quality of what I've submitted there, but they either used them in mock-ups for presentations or applications, and that aesthetic that I used was then required of them to go forward with their projects. In a way, the best method for them to, you know, keep their clients happy was to employ the artists that had done the work that they've been using in their samples, and that's a really good way for you to get foothold in new content. And of course, they had no problem with me submitting everything to the public domain, should their project be unsuccessful, or should it be a niche that they don't see any competitors anyway. So it's something to think about if you're wanting to do this professionally.
Well, that's like a common question is like, do I license something restrictively to not give people access? To us, it's like obvious, but to others, it's not so easy. But you start to measure the advantage of when you get your content out and more people use it, you can also get more traffic back, which is one of the big reasons that Creative Commons license is kind of interesting, because of the track backs attribution. Getting track backs to your site, well, if you have ads on your site, you're going to get more traffic. If you have a video on YouTube that gets like a gazillion hits, then, I mean, it's on their site, they're getting the hits, but if you have it on your site, it comes to figure if you have ads or some other way to profit off, like, you're going to make some money. But,
Thank you.